Turn with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. There are so many things that are happening for 2017, and I just feel very excited about what God is going to do in our midst in 2017, in the coming year. And you remember that this time last year, I gave you all a gift, and I gave you a Bible reading plan. This time last year was a Bible reading plan, and I said, if you'd like to take one, it gives you a reading for every day of the year, and if you keep up with it, you will read the whole Bible through the year. Well, I can tell you honestly, I have filled mine out. I've faithfully kept to it, so I have read the Bible again for 1 year. And I bought 150 for 2017. So again, I'm going to give you all this morning a Bible reading plan, a 1 year Bible reading plan, and take it and use it. And if you can stick to it, you'll read the Bible throughout the year. You'll read the whole Bible in 1 year. And you know, as a Christian, the best thing you can do is to read the Bible. The best thing you can do is to read the Bible, because when you read the Bible, you're opening your heart to God and God can speak to you. So please do that. And then we have a special leaflet. I'm teased about this constantly by trustees and fellow elders. It's called a trifold. And my nickname has become Trifold Trevor, which I really don't want to, you know, dwell on, but it's a trifold, and it gives you, at a glance, monthly, everything that is going to be happening at River of Life for the coming year. So take one, and you might want to transfer the dates and the things that are going to be happening there into your diaries, so that you know exactly what is happening. There's no excuse for anybody not knowing what is happening at River of Life. And you know, we have some tremendous things happening this coming year. I want you to get excited and motivated. I want you to get behind these ministries. We have a math weekend. We have a flight simulator coming, which will be a wonderful evangelistic opportunity. We have a Kathy Burton night, a concert here. Kathy Burton is a wonderful worship leader, works in close conjunction with MAF. We have Just One on Saturday the 8th of July. We'll be ferrying coaches to the Emirates Stadium. There is so much happening in 2017 that under God we feel that God wants us to do. So will you get behind it? Pray for us, pray for one another, and let's join together and really see what God will do amongst us in 2017. Praise the Lord. Amen. Have we found Richard yet? We haven't found Richard. Well, he's gone because I was going to speak, probably. I don't know. There we are. So 2 Chronicles 29. Yesterday in New Times Square, New York City, they designated Good Riddance Day. And I don't know whether you heard about this, but the organizers encouraged people to write down their grievances and disappointments in 2016. And then to throw the lists into special shredders. I'm going to transfer mics now, if I can. Thank you very much. And they did this so that people would identify their mistakes for 2016, their bad relationships, their long-held grudges, all of which are all things which are very damaging to us. And they invited people to write a list of what had really hurt them or damaged them or affected them throughout 2016, and they invited them to put them into the shredder. And of course, that's a wonderful psychological way of getting rid of the old and bringing in the new, isn't it? And I remember as a small boy, my grandmother coming to stay at our house over New Year. And at the stroke of midnight, she would go to the back door and open it. And she would shoo all the bad stuff out. And I was about 6, I didn't know what was going on. Then she'd go to the front door and she'd welcome the New Year in. I can remember my dad complaining that she was letting all the heat out of the house. But as a small boy, I didn't really understand it because I never saw anything go out and I never saw anything come in. And so I was confused. But you know, as Christians, the first day of the new year can have a special significance for all of us. It gives us an opportunity to review our lives, to assess what we feel God is saying to us, and it provides us with a motivation and an impetus to see God working afresh in our lives and in the life of the fellowship to which we belong. Let me say to you, we are members of River of Life not because we are organizational members. We are members of, although River of Life is an organization, it's a local fellowship, it's a local church, but we are not members of an organization, organizationally. We are members organically. For the Bible says we are members one of another. We have a relationship. We're not just members of a club. We don't just attend because we pay our subscriptions or whatever, you know. It's not like being in Rotary or Round Table or the Stamp Club or the Railway Followers Club, you know. It's not like that. We belong to one another because we belong to Christ. Amen? Amen. And so our relationship is not organizational. It is organic. And 2 Chronicles 29 is one of the key chapters in the Old Testament. And I read it recently, and I was very challenged when I read 2 Chronicles 29. And I want to focus upon a particular verse, verse 17. And 2 Chronicles 29 is all about a young king, only 25 years of age, coming to the throne as a young man. His name was Hezekiah. He was the son of a very wicked, evil king, his father, King Ahaz. Hezekiah came to the throne at 25, and he began on the first day of his reign. Look at verse 3. In the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites, assembled them in the square on the east side. And he said, "Listen to me, Levites, consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord." Hezekiah came to the throne with a determination that he was going to turn things round for God. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 17 that the Levites, they began the consecration on the first day of the first month. Isn't that amazing? What is the first day of the first month? It's today. It's today, isn't it? Today is the first day of the first month. And so this New Year's Day can be for us a day of reconsecration. It can be a day for us when you decide to reconsecrate and give yourself again to God. Whatever has happened in the past, get rid of. Say good riddance to it, like they did in Times Square yesterday. Good riddance to it. The old is going, the new is coming. Reconsecrate ourselves to God. It's a day when we can make a decision to be better for God. I want to be better for God, don't you? I want to do something new and good for God. I want God to do something new in our experience. I want to do something for the Lord. You know, there are so many people who get saved and then they fail to move on. They fail to grow in the Lord. It's what I call being saved and stuck. Do you know you can be saved and stuck? You can be saved and just stay there for years and years and years and years and not move on, not grow, not move on in the gifts, not move on in ministry, not move on in fruitfulness. You can be saved and stuck. I don't want to be saved and stuck, friends. I want something new in my life. Paul said to Timothy, "Stir up the gift that is within you, that was given to you by the laying on of hands." And that's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? There are times when we need to stir ourselves. We need to stir ourselves and the gift that is within us. Today can be a day of reconsecration. It began, verse 17, on the first day of the first month. Then look at verses 22 to 24. Today can be a day of renewal. Early the next morning, King Hezekiah gathered the city of officials together, and they went up to the temple of the Lord. They brought seven bulls and seven rams, seven male lambs and seven male goats as an offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary and for Judah. The king commanded the priests, the descendants of Aaron, that's significant, to offer these on the altar of the Lord. So they slaughtered the bulls, and the priests took the blood and splashed it against the altar. Next, they slaughtered the lambs and splashed their blood against the altar. And then they slaughtered the lambs and splashed their blood against the altar. It's almost like rereading Leviticus when Aaron, the high priest, Moses' brother, instituted that very first session of sacrifices, system of sacrifices, and the blood was splashed on the altar. The goats for a sin offering were brought before the king, verse 23. And they laid their hands on them. The priests then slaughtered the goats and presented their blood on the altar for a sin offering to atone for all Israel, because the king had ordered the burnt offering for the sin offering for all Israel. Underline those words, for all Israel. They were a community. They were a nation. They were worshiping corporately, not just as individuals. And in Hezekiah's day, spiritual renewal meant a renewing of the covenant that God had made with Moses. That's why we have all this blood splashing around. It must have been very, very gory. We have no idea of what it was like for all those animals to be slaughtered and for their blood to be splashed. But you see, God said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And renewal in Hezekiah's day, in an Old Testament context, was a renewal of the covenant that God made with Moses in Mount Sinai, of the sacrifices and the offerings that we read of in the book of Leviticus, which Israel had abandoned. So there was a reinstitution of the Mosaic law. Now, in our post-New Testament age, what does renewal mean for us? It doesn't mean sacrificing bulls and lambs and goats, does it? We're in the New Testament. We're not living in the Old Testament. We're not living under Mosaic law. We're not living under law. We're living under grace. Hallelujah. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. We're not living under the Mosaic law. We're living under grace. We're walking in grace and mercy. Are you walking in grace and mercy? So what does renewal mean for us? Is it just about a certain style of worship? Is it just about being a bit more unstructured than the traditional churches? Is renewal just about a certain style of modern church, where we're a bit more happy and clappy? God forbid us that we should be so shallow to think that. No, true spiritual renewal for us means a return to the old values. Amen? It means a return to the old values that once we held, but over the years, it may have faded or diminished in our experience. That's what renewal, true spiritual renewal, is. It's getting back to what we once had. Amen? Spiritual renewal means returning to our first love for God. What a great church the church at Ephesus was. Look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. These are the messages of the risen Jesus to the churches. And one of them is Ephesus. And he commends them. And he says in Revelation 2 and verse 2, I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear those who are evil, and have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and have found them to be false. I know you are patiently enduring and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. What a wonderful church the church at Ephesus seemed. It was commendable, wasn't it? It hadn't given up. It had endured. Doctrinally, it was sound. Everything was in order. They had maintained their stance. But you know, Jesus says to them in verse 4, but I have this against you. You have abandoned your love that you had at first. And you know, friends, true spiritual renewal is not about styles. True spiritual renewal is about falling in love with Jesus again. That's what true spiritual renewal is. When I fall in love with Jesus again, and when I love him with all my heart, I am renewed. Hallelujah. By his Spirit. Because love is everything. Do you know that? In every circumstance, in every situation, you can get through it, you can overcome it, if you have love. And that is why love is the greatest. That's what the word says. Love is the greatest. And whatever difficulty we face, whatever dilemma, whatever depression, whatever catastrophe, love will always conquer all. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? What does that lead to? Look at verse 29 of 2 Chronicles 29. And with this I close. Today is not only a day of reconsecration, it's not only a day of renewal, but it's a day of rejoicing. And I'm so glad that you seemed really worshiping the Lord this morning as we gather together, you know? And Julie led us so well, in spite of her age, as Sean said, you know? I wasn't going to let him get away with that. Bless you. I didn't say it. I reminded him you were young, Julie, so there we are. But you know, when we give ourselves again to the Lord, there can be a day of rejoicing. Verse 29, look at it together. When the offerings were finished, I love this. Read 2 Chronicles 29 when you get home, because it's a long chapter and it's too long to read this morning because of the time. But read it. It's fantastic. Verse 29, when the offerings were finished, the king and everyone present with him. I love those words. I've underlined it. There wasn't a person there that was out of what God was doing. You know? Nobody on that day missed the blessing. Everyone present with him knelt down and worshipped. King Hezekiah and his officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord. Again, a return to old values with the words of David. I wonder what you'd feel like if, when you came to church one day, there was an order from the elders. Wow. Oh, that would be controversial. Everyone is ordered to worship the Lord. Oh, well, I don't feel like worshiping the Lord, you know? Well, everyone's ordered to worship the Lord. This is what the word says. The king ordered everyone to worship the Lord. And what happened? So they sang praises with gladness and bowed down and worshipped. Verse 31, then Hezekiah said, you have now dedicated yourselves to the Lord. Come and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the temple of the Lord. So the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all whose hearts were willing with burnt offerings. Hallelujah. Verse 35, the last part says, so the service of the temple of the Lord was re-established. Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced at what God had brought about for his people. And I love this at the end. Because it was done so quickly. Do you know what? When God does something, he doesn't mess about, does he? And in a moment of time, God can speak to you. And in a moment, in a nanosecond, in a fraction, in a moment, God can do something in your heart that will last for all eternity. And he does it in a moment in time. A challenge can come. A quickening can come. The awareness can come. A revelation can come. And you'll be like Paul on the Damascus Road. God will do it in a moment in time. And this is what happened here. Everyone present with him, and it was done in a moment of time. Hallelujah. So the Lord bless you. Lovely to be together to share the word. Please take your key dates for 2017 and your Bible reading plan. Let us stand for prayer, can we, as the band come back. And let us pray that God today will do a new thing, begin to do a new thing on this first day of the first month. Amen? The first day of the first month. Father, we lift our hearts to you today with joy and gladness. We give you praise and worship, Lord, for all you have done for us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your mercy. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. New every morning are your mercies. We give you praise. We pray that we shall see great things in this place and from this place this year, Lord. Help us to fall in love with you again. Help us to recover our first love for you. Lord, if it has faded, we pray that you will fan again the flames, that we might love you and worship you and bring the kingdom of heaven to earth here. Let your kingdom come, Lord, in power and in strength and in glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Happy New Year, everyone.